The University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh plans to cut 200 staff positions as they face an $18 million budget deficit. It's Friday, August 4th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Hope Kerwin, filling in for Alex Crow. Coming up, Vice President Kamala Harris visited Wisconsin to talk about the broadband network electronics being manufactured in Pleasant Prairie. And Milwaukee religious leaders denounce the rise of Christian nationalism and its threat to democracy. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Facing an $18 million deficit, the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh plans to cut around 200 staff positions starting this fall. Rich Kramer reports the announcement follows passage of a state budget that provides no new money for campuses.
Oshkosh Chancellor Andy Leavitt is telling employees to expect furloughs, retirement incentives, layoffs, and non-renewals as it works to close an unprecedented deficit.
Our approach faces reality head-on, reorganizing and reducing our payroll and expenses while shielding classrooms and student experiences to the fullest extent possible.
Declining enrollment, a freeze on tuition increases that lasted a decade, and past cuts to the UW system budget have already led to a reduction of around 100 employees at the school. The current state budget includes no new money for state universities. Republican state lawmakers are also withholding $32 million in funding unless campuses eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
During a stop in Wisconsin yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris praised a telecommunications company for its decision to manufacture fiber optic components in Kenosha County. Harris was in the state for Nokia's announcement that it's partnering with Sanmina Corporation to make broadband network electronics here. The products will be manufactured at a facility in Pleasant Prairie. The move is expected to create up to 200 new jobs. After touring the facility, Harris said the products made there will help bring high-speed internet to more areas across the nation.
In America in the 21st century, high-speed internet is not a luxury. It is a basic necessity.
Nokia is the first telecom company to begin manufacturing products in the U.S. for the $42 billion Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program. Milwaukee religious leaders gather to denounce the rise of Christian nationalism and its threat to democracy. Corrine Hess reports this was the first event the group is planning in the lead-up to the 2024 election.
Clergy representing many faiths rallied in Milwaukee against the growing acceptance of Christian nationalism. The group says the once fringe belief is now a threat to democracy. The Reverend Paul Erickson with the Greater Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America encouraged people to have political discussions in their church.
We got to get over that and talk about the way in which politics is killing our sisters and brothers. This is not a philosophical, theoretical exercise. This has real life impact. And if we want to say on Sunday morning that we love our neighbor, we damn well better act like it on Tuesday night.
A national survey found that more than half of Republicans support Christian nationalism. 15% of Democrats share that belief. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The owner of a Northwoods brew pub says he'll appeal Oneida County's decision to revoke his business's license. Kirk Bangstad owns Minocqua Brewing Company. In 2021, he started a super PAC, which supports Democratic Party causes. Bangstad has been embroiled in a years-long dispute with local authorities over zoning and parking rules. He says he's being targeted because of his political activity. At a hearing this week, an Oneida County committee voted to close the business. Committee Chair Scott Holowinski denied that Bangstad had been targeted.
We have been fair to you. There's nothing political against me and you. I don't care what thing you keep swamping me with. We're after you because you're a liberal, because you're a Democrat. You make this all up against us.
Bangstad has said he will appeal the decision. Coming up, we'll meet a Cuban refugee who started a new life in La Crosse almost 40 years ago. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a Cuban refugee who lives in La Crosse. He's also one of the people featured in the podcast, WPR Reports, Uprooted.
When Ernesto Rodriguez of La Crosse was 24 years old, he left the only home he'd ever known, Cuba.
And then when they asked me, do you want to leave Cuba? I go, yeah, because I don't want to be there.
He, along with 125,000 of his fellow Cubans, hopped on boats bound for the United States in 1980. They were part of the mass exodus known as the Mariel Boatlift, a rare moment when President Fidel Castro allowed residents to leave the island. Among that group that fled, almost 15,000 ended up at Fort McCoy in Sparta, Wisconsin, including Erne. And while living there, Erne spent a lot of time in the kitchen. The staff were cooking the refugees American food, like hamburgers and hot dogs, food they hadn't developed a taste for yet. So a cook named Tony asked Erne a question.
And Tony asked me, what kind of food you guys like? It's Cuban food. I said, what the Cuban food? And then I show him like how to make a congee and a chicken fricassee and mashed potato, but not like mashed potato from here is different.
And it's in this kitchen that Erne met someone who was born and raised in Sparta, someone who had become family.
I'm just Brian Brandstetter. Ernie's my brother from another mother.
Mm-hmm.
My family was one of the sponsors of Erne mm-hmm. back in 1980.
We are a good friend, we are a good brother because I love the guy like he's my own brother.
Well, I've been your brother longer than not. Yeah, 41 years, 1980, wow.
In order for Erne to get out of Fort McCoy, he had to find a sponsor who would vouch for him and help him find housing and a job. That's where the Brandstetters come in. Brian's parents, Roger and Annette Brandstetter, became Erne's sponsors. Erne went to live with the family in Sparta.
Yeah, they moved into my bedroom and they wore our clothes that they could fit in. My parents would go shopping for them. You know, they fed them. They gave them love.
Yeah, Mom. She was the best mom. I never had a mom.
Erne's new mom, Annette, is one of the most important people in his life.
I told her, my mom, every birthday, she making me an upside-down pineapple cake. Every birthday.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say, Mom, I don't want this no more. You. And she called me, Benny, happy birthday. Come and get your cake. They said, wow, man, I'm lucky. Because they give me everything. I don't need nothing. They give me everything.
Roger got Erne a job at his car dealership. And this was a big deal, since it was not always easy for Cubans to find jobs.
And my dad had a very optimistic view. He goes, oh, we'll teach him English. We'll get him into church. We'll get him working.
But Brian says once they got to church, the new community wasn't necessarily welcoming of his new brother.
My parents lost a lot of their right-leaning friends because they're like, how could you do this? You let them into your house. You let them work for you. And it's crazy. They didn't feel good about it. Our mom was a very stern woman, and she wasn't going to take any crap from anybody. So she'd get all uppity, and she wouldn't care, and she'd create enemies.
Despite the pushback, Brian and Erne remained tight. They're family now.
Because nobody does that for a black guy in another country, and I always call you are my real mom.
Erne's journey to the United States wasn't easy. He's been through a lot, but he found sponsors who loved him and cared for him, sponsors who would help him start a new life in Wisconsin. To learn more about Erne's life in Cuba, how he served in the military, was sent to prison, and took a treacherous boat ride to get to the United States, check out the podcast WPR Reports Uprooted. All 8 episodes plus historical photos can be found at wpr.org/uprooted. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. Catch us every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe. We'll talk to you again on Monday.